Who knows? I don't know. He goes medieval on their butts with his axe, fighting ISIS. Oh, this is the Freedom Fiends. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, hi. I didn't see you there.
The fighting ISIS sounds like a hockey team.
Yeah, but he's fighting ISIS. He's not the ISIS. Well, the fighting Irish sounds like a separatist group, but it's actually a football team from Indiana. This is Michael Dean. This is the Freedom Fiends. And Davy Barker and I are here to entertain and elucidate you. The Freedom Fiends are the abusement park of talk radio. And this weekend, we're going to have some abusement park information. If you want to do your homework on it, anybody, read up on it. We're going to be, Jim Jesus and Lou and I are going to be talking this weekend about how things might be in a libertarian paradise. An amusement park in New Jersey that was shut down after 10 years of having the highest mortality rate of any amusement park in America. It was called Action Park. The nicknames for it were Class Action Park and Traction Park. And they had so many injuries from there that the park bought 6 ambulances for the city to accommodate the stream of injured people coming out of there. All right, so Dobby,
so they're doing their part. They're doing their civic duty.
They are. And, you know, people argue that high-risk behavior hurts everybody because of the free rider problem. But I would say it does not if you're helping buy ambulances to compensate for the flood of injured you're sending to the hospital.
Well, you know, if they're offering free rides and people are taking the risk of their own will, and
you must be,
or do they sell tickets?
You must be 3 feet high for the ambulance ride. All right, you want to talk about zombies or something? What is it? What's going on, man?
Oh, it's just Walking Dead. We haven't talked about Walking Dead in a while.
You know why is that? Because we've been
talking about Better Call Saul.
We met someone younger and prettier. That's what happened. We've been cheating on the zombies with Better Call Saul. It's so much. I don't know. It's just new. You know,
it's just different. You know, sometimes you want ice cream, sometimes you want pie. I can't compare them.
Sometimes you want zombies. Sometimes you want a criminal attorney. Sometimes you want some guy going medieval on ISIS with an axe. And sometimes you just want to take your kids to an amusement park where they might die. Because that's America. That's freedom. Well, the ISIS guy is in Iraq and Iran. But
bumper cars at your own risk.
Bumper cars at 50 miles an hour at your own risk. Now,
that's hard for me to believe. Like, I've been in bumper car arenas that were pretty big, and I can't even imagine getting up to 50 miles an hour in most of them. Unless it's like a track or something. It's like a racetrack.
Yeah, it was a track. It wasn't bumper cars.
A bumper car racetrack sounds like fun. I think I would take
the risk. It wasn't bumper
on
cars,
one.
But, you know, what are the little cars called? Go-kart cars that people chase?
Go-kart racing?
Something like that. It was on a track that went around in a circle, an egg shape, an octagon, the octagon of death.
Approve. That sounds perfectly fine.
Yeah. Well, you like zombies.
Let them sign a waiver and that's it.
Yeah. Well, you write children's books about zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true.
Let's talk about zombies. Davy and I are the horse brothers tonight. Hi, we're the horse brothers.
What does that mean?
We both have a sore
throat. Oh, we're horse.
Yeah, we have a horse. I am quitting vaping. I quit smoking 2 years ago and vaped, but vaping is taking a toll on me, on my asthma. It's getting worse. And I got to quit. And I'm actually going to quit during this show. I'm almost out. I've
on the air live?
Yeah. I mean, not like, well, I guess I'll let you know when I quit, but I'm down to like an eighth of a tank, and that's less than a show for me because I chain vape and I can't cut down. I can only stop. So if I start getting really mean in the last 40 minutes of this show, you'll know why. I won't. How about
so
this?
This could be like a breaking point in the Freedom Fiends where we go from, you know, we could go blue or whatever.
No.
Become a dark show.
A dark show. Yeah.
It's Freedom Fiends only darker.
I won't say when I'm out. Davy can just suddenly notice and ask me if I'm out, and I will confirm if that's when I'm out. But, 6-1, half a dozen of the other.
Does it just when you stop having the hit, or is it like, do we have to wait for the nicotine to dissipate in the bloodstream before you get mean, or what?
Yeah, probably that. Although I'm so addicted to nicotine, this is gonna be tough. I'm so addicted to nicotine that like I will get up after 4 hours of sleep and get up and like pee or not pee, just get up. I'll get up and take a couple hits on the vape and go back to sleep. Like, my body is like, oh, we're out of it. It's been 4 hours. And I wake up and vape and go back to sleep. So, zombies.
The show's taken a really delightful turn in my mind. The Walking Dead.
The Fiends has taken a delightful turn in my mind, too. Ben Stone posted that last night's show was great, and it was like a new realm for The Fiends, because last night was history. Last night
was... It was kind of magical.
It was. It was the first time that I know of in history in independent media. I mean, there's probably exceptions to this in mainstream media, because they have a lot more money. Last night was the first time in independent media that four people in four different locations, not in the same room, did a talking show, and it was great. That's never happened. And if you want examples of what it's usually like, go look at any neckbeard libertarian four-person video show on Google Hangouts. They're all horrible. Absolutely. So, there you go. Tell me, Dobby, tell me about your zombie theories.
Well, I mean, it's not just... I mean, you're caught up with the show, right?
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, they made it to Alexandria, which is just fantastic. You know what's kind of
funny? I kept thinking that it would, like, they'd named that community Alexandria after the ancient city of Alexandria, which is still a city, but after the ancient city.
Yeah.
Or, which is in what? Egypt, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it'd been the name of the planned community. But then I realized, no, they're in Alexandria, Virginia. I used to live one town over in Arlington. That's Alexandria, Virginia.
The interesting thing about that is in the comic book, it is still in Georgia.
Oh.
And the community is called Alexandria, I think probably because it is named after the historic Alexandria.
Like it's a planned community, like coming soon.
Yeah.
You could be home for under $200,000 here at Alexandria, like that kind of thing.
Right. I don't know that they say it, but no, in the show, they're actually in Alexandria, Virginia, and that didn't happen in the comic. But it doesn't seem to have mattered too much. What's interesting to me is... It's just like suddenly there's this like normalcy. You know what I mean?
Didn't Adam Kokesh used to live in Alexandria?
I have no idea.
Or he lived in Falls Church. Like you don't stalk him?
No, I don't know.
Damon does.
Does he?
Ashley does.
Is there an Adam Kokesh doc somewhere?
Well, there's video of Ashley calling into Adam Kokesh, and there's also screenshots of her inviting him to some like in-person hangout where they later got kicked out, Ashley and Damon. Like, basically, she was trying to, I think, it says on the site, DamonDocs.com, that she was trying to set him up to troll him in person. So, who knows? But go on. I digress. Go on.
So, I don't know if you've noticed this, but there's a lot of callbacks to season one in this cluster of episodes.
The names
of all of the episodes since they arrived in Virginia are derived from a quote from Dale in like episode two. And it's
which one's Dale? I never remember.
Dale's the old guy with the RV with the fisherman hat and all that jazz.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
The guy who looked like before the fall he was probably a Democrat who taught like fourth grade English. And for some reason, he's actually a Democrat that's comfortable carrying a gun and shooting the undead now. Yeah, I know.
Well, he might've been kind of an outdoorsy kind of
Democrat.
A person. Maybe.
They exist. Democrats with guns. Beware the undead Democrats with guns.
It's true. I've seen it.
That was a long pause, man. Were you thinking about, were you picturing it?
No, I was using my new and improved cough button is what I was doing.
Ah, the Fiend Phone cough button that looks like a guy servicing the Invisible Man. Yeah, that one that some guy made for us. Yep. I like it. I designed it.
So I want to read you this
quote. It's partly my fault. That's what I'm saying.
So this is a quote from William Faulkner, and it's said by Dale in like episode two or three of The Walking Dead. And maybe you'll pick out the episode names.
Yeah.
He's talking about his watch.
I probably won't because I don't pay attention to the episode names, but you can explain it.
All right, cool. So the quote is, "I give you the mausoleum of all hopes and desire, which will fit your individual needs no better than it did mine or my father's before me. I give it to you not that you may remember time, but that you may forget it for a moment now and then, and not to spend all of your breath trying to conquer it." And he says this about his watch, which was given to him by his father. Now, the episodes, the most recent episodes have been Forget, Remember, Spend, and the next episode is called Conquer.
Mm.
Those are all lines from this line. Mm-hmm. And so there's things in all this Alexandria stuff, you're like looking at the Walking Dead crew only darker, right? like Rick is now Shane. He's the one who's sort of like putting his hand on his gun and thinking about shooting the other man because he's got a thing for the man's wife, right? And that was Shane in season one. Or you've got there's been all these callbacks. Let me see, what are the others? You know, in a sense, I mean, this isn't season one, this is season three, but the death of Noah, spoiler alert, is very similar to the big box raid where Bob does the thing with the wine and gets the kid killed.
How do they have so much booze in Alexandria? Now, let me ask you this first. How long are we past the initial virus appearing?
It's supposed to be about 3 years, I think.
How come they still have like enough wine and beer to have parties? They're not making it. They must have had a crap load of it stored up. I'm calling suspension of disbelief on that one.
Well, you know, if you only drink it at parties and you only have four holidays a year, how many bottles do you go through for a fancy dinner? Maybe it's a special occasion.
Yeah, but in a town full of people that size, what do they got, like 100 people or 50 people? There'd be a couple drunks that would be stealing all of it, I think.
Well, there is. Pete, oh yeah, the doctor is a drunk.
Yeah. Now, what are they going to? I think Rick is going to kill him and be with his wife. Although,
yeah, I think so too.
Is he the only doctor?
He is the only.
Maybe
doctor.
Maybe they'll just put him in a cage and let him still be a doctor. I don't know.
Chain him up.
Yeah. Dox him. Yeah.
Well, that's sort of like the doctor in hospital in Atlanta, right? Where like they only kept him around because he was the only doctor and he was useful. Horrible. And then when he needed to flex his muscle, he just prescribed the wrong drug and got someone killed. Ugh. Right.
Yeah.
But it's also interesting that like you have these heroes that we've followed for five seasons and they're all like hardened and, you know, talented and, you know, they're crafted by this world. And then you have the Alexandria crew that's been behind these steel walls the whole time and they're all incompetent and cowardly.
I know, and
they don't even put a sniper in their tower. Like,
they're offended by the thought of a sniper in the tower.
Yeah.
Yeah. They just have a rifle in the tower with no one sniping from it.
It's a scarecrow.
It's scare. Yeah, like that'll work with zombies.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this. Nobody.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
Yeah. So, Davy Parker. Davi, did you like the image I used for the Freedom Fiends show last night about the International Neckbeard Conference?
Are you talking about the Cinnabon thing?
Yeah. Cinnabon, as seen on AMC's Better Call Saul. That's a weird product placement. Yeah, and it kind of looks like it's at a, you know, conference hotel area or something. So, yeah.
It is kind of odd. Like, is it a good... Because the reason that Saul is in a Cinnabon is because he's a washed-up failure. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like Cinnabon... Where washed-up failure criminal attorneys go to hide. Is that what the message is?
Where those that even the witness protection program can't save go.
I know. It's kind of like saying no one goes there anymore. Or no one who counts goes there. Yeah. All right. So we're talking about Breaking Dead or Walking Bad. We're talking about zombies.
So one of the coolest things going on in Alexandria for me is Carol.
Yeah.
Because... she's just so evil.
I didn't like it because I've always liked Carol, and her threatening a kid kind of bummed me out. I mean, I saw her reason for doing it, but it was very creepy.
Well, so I don't think that she, I don't think it was a credible threat. I don't think she would actually do that to Sam. So she threatens him. She says, if you tell anyone about this one day, you'll wake up and you'll just be out in the woods tied to a tree eaten by zombies.
It's a really dumb threat because I think you'd probably wake up before you got out there if she kidnapped you to take you out there, unless she drugged you.
Yeah, or knocked you out or something.
Yeah.
It's just terrifying to a kid. So that's the other thing is I don't think she could actually do it, but it is a really creepy, dangerous, scary thing to say to a kid. But what I like about it is it's Carol confronted with her previous self. Like, Pete is Ed 2.0. At least he's sort of being portrayed that way. Like, he's probably this, like, drunk, abusive husband type. And Sam is kind of like Sophia 2.0. He's like this kid who's, like, curious and gets himself in trouble where he shouldn't be. And,
he wants cookies.
He wants cookies, right?
I like cookies.
But he gets himself in trouble, right? Which is, like, think about this. Sam found Carol because he wandered off from the group. Sophia disappeared and became a zombie because she wandered off from the group, right? Like, there's a parallel thing happening with Carol and his family where she's being confronted with her previous self, which means that Jesse is sort of like Carol, maybe.
In a way,
and so
she might be being kind of protective of him in a weird, twisted way.
Well, it is becoming that. Like, in the last episode, she's like, I just said the scariest thing I've ever said to anybody in my life to you, and you're coming back looking for cookies. Like, what is wrong with you, kid?
Because
you see that look on her face.
Well, because he's feeling threatened by somebody, or someone close to him is threatened by somebody, and we're going to talk about that. But, that's one reason that, like, women who've been abused end up with, dating cops or something, or dating bad men, or dating
constables.
Yeah. Because they want someone who's rough to be around them to protect them from the roughness they had earlier in their lives. Even if it means they have to put up with a bit of roughness, it's better than the alternative in their minds. And I think that's the way of the kid, like, oh, she's mean and scary. I want to be around her because she will be mean and scary to this thing that's scaring me.
Which is probably why Jesse's going for Rick too.
Yeah.
Like, if she likes her men abusive, maybe she sees Rick as a way out, because, like, he's pretty crazy right now too.
Well, and so. her husband's an abusive beta, and Rick's a tough alpha.
An abusive alpha.
He's not abusive. So, well, maybe.
So he'd probably being groomed to believe.
Go ahead.
We're being groomed to believe that Pete is hitting Jesse or hitting Sam, and that this is why Sam wants a gun, and this is why Jesse's going for Rick, and this is what's all being implied. But I'm not buying it. Like, I get that that's what the writers want us to be inferring, but they haven't told us it outright, and so I'm suspicious that when they reveal what's really going on, it's going to be something different. And the only real evidence I have is that the actress playing Jesse is a very talented actress. She was in American Horror Story and some other things. And she's not playing an abused character in my mind. She's too, like, chipper and happy. And
it could just be what she puts on, you know,
and whatever. So
abused women will often put on the happy face, or not necessarily abused, like, abused women, but, like, a really good example I've seen is women that are married to alcoholics will be codependent in that they will try to, like, move heaven and earth to make their family look good to the outside world. You know, they'll do his work for him when he's passed out to do it. She'll make up excuses of why he can't come into work. She'll juggle.
What if it turns out she's the medical expert and we don't need Pete at all?
Or what if she's the abuser?
There you go.
She's the sociopath.
Poor Pete is drinking the pain away.
Sociopath with his smile. There you go.
To Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges.
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
I'm gonna keep watching it.
So
Freedom Fiends. He'll never guess what Dobby and I were doing, but he can listen. Watching
visual comedy on the radio.
Yeah, we're doing visual comedy on the radio. It's not a good thing to do. What are we watching, Dobby? You're still watching it, right? What is it?
It's called, what is it? It's just called The Walking Dead.
Okay, go on YouTube and look for this. The Walking Dead Part 1, 8-bit cinema.
It's pretty fantastic. It looks like an old like Nintendo game, but it like goes through, how far does it go? Does it go all the way through season 2?
This one is season 1. I think there's ones of all the season. It's like the whole season, like an 8-bit video game like Zelda or something, or what did you say it was? Not like Zelda.
It looks like Friday the 13th
yeah.
to me.
Yeah.
But it might just be because of the zombies.
Yeah.
But that's what it looks like
to
me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. But there's a bunch. I think they have all the episodes, and it's pretty cool. Someone named, boy, what was his name? Elko? No, Rhino. Rhino posted this on the Fiend site. New fan.
I approve. I would buy this game.
I would buy this game if it was playable. Yeah.
So I was wrong.
You were wrong, man. You're so wrong.
I'm often wrong, but sometimes I actually discover that I was wrong.
Before the show's over. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, so in this case, I was wrong because Alexandria in the comic book is Alexandria, Virginia. I thought they never left Georgia in the comic, but apparently they did. So there you go. Alexandria is Alexandria, Virginia.
Yeah, which is kind of a bedroom community for people that support the Beast. Who, you know, people that live there work in D.C. a lot. I think the Metro goes all the way out there now. It did not when I lived there, but I think it does now. Yeah.
I mean, even the, like, leader or mayor or whatever in the show is an Ohio senator, so. Because well, that's just who I want running my community in the zombie apocalypse is an Ohio senator.
Because they were all headed to D.C., or, like, I guess the army took them there or something. They were going to, the FEMA camp was there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, being in the army isn't necessarily the best thing in the zombie apocalypse, because we've encountered some armored zombies at this point a few different times.
So yeah, what was that about? They go into like a solar panel factory or warehouse or something, and they come across a like fully plated soldier encounter suit zombie. Yeah.
Well, and, he was probably.
First off, I don't think those helmets will hold off a bullet.
They will. Yeah,
even the shield.
Oh, the front.
The face shield, because he hit him right in the face shield.
Yeah, no.
The other problem I have with that is I don't think shooting a grenade sets it off, because if it did, you'd be aiming for grenades in every land war that ever happened.
Yeah, it could, but they're a really small target compared to, an armored person. Basically, you have to hit them in the neck, face, or shins. I mean, basically anything below the torso. And then,
do you think shooting a grenade would set it off?
I think it would. I think it might.
But soldiers are wearing grenades. That means they're marching into battle against fire, wearing bombs that could go off if they're hit.
Maybe. Although,
that seems like a poor design to me.
What, the bomb should be carried from behind the enemy while our guys are in front of the enemy? I don't know. I don't know what the option is. I think the option is like crabs that shoot lasers.
There you go.
They're working on that. They're working on robo. I mean, it's going to be weird when battles are just fought by robots. I think the world is headed that way. You know, there was a thing on, I want to take a little detour here. There's a thing on about AI, artificial intelligence, and robots, a whole show on Free Talk Live the other day, and they said a lot of interesting stuff. But two things they didn't bring up is one that's kind of cool and one that's kind of horrifying. The one that's kind of cool, do you know what lights out factories are?
No. Oh, wait. Can I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Is it in a totalitarian or communist, or I suppose anywhere, where when the factory is done for the day and everyone goes home, another troop comes in and like builds something completely different in the factory?
No. And you're probably within 5 miles of a bunch of lights out factories. All right. They're big in Silicon Valley. They are factories that have no human workers, so they don't need lights. Oh. They are completely automated robot factories, and they're pretty common in computer chip production. And a lot of that happens around where you are. And I think I think that's cool. I mean, I'm sure that human workers who are in that industry don't like it, but, it's the resource-based economy in action, isn't it?
Well, yeah, except for the communism.
Yeah, yeah. Except what? It's lacking the communism, or there is communism?
Well, yeah, the Zeitgeist movements, they postulate that you need a completely global communist. They won't call it a dictatorship, but it's a dictatorship.
It's a robot.
You can have everything supplied by robots.
A robo-dictatorship. Now, what's going to happen, and my second thing is, and this is kind of horrifying, is that there's talk of getting to the point in the next few years where AI will be able to do moderation on social networks. So basically, robots are going to decide whether what you post is allowed to be posted. I mean, I guess.
I heard a story. This is sort of speaks to this sort of like direct advertising thing. This guy complained because the Google advertisements that auto-filled on his machine were advertising pregnancy products. And he's like, no one in our house is pregnant. Oh,
they told
What's
that story.
I don't want this stuff.
They told this story on Free Talk Live. Rich Paul told it.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. It was, and it turned out like his daughter had been pregnant. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Target or Google or whoever figured it out before he did.
Well, first thing is I don't share computers with anybody, even my wife. And it's not like, I mean, there's nothing I do on the computer I wouldn't tell her, but we have side by side really kick butt computers, you know, because I don't want someone, the only thing we share that's weird like that is we share a Netflix account. Netflix must think that she is the most schizophrenic movie watcher in the world because she has really different tastes in TV and movies than I do. They overlap in a few places, usually shows on AMC. But yeah, man. So we end up with these taste profiles of suggestions of things neither of us would ever watch. And we're like, why do they say this? And, you know, then we figure out this was recommended to you because, you know, you liked Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, which is her. And
because only two people in the entire world like both of these movies, and they also like this.
And you
movie.
Also liked, you know, you also liked the documentary about the Helvetica font, and that's me. So
right. Yeah. Which I still haven't found for free
can't
anymore.
Believe you can't, man, you got to find that. It's probably on the Torrents. You could go to Torrance, California and get it. That should be our code word. Yeah, go to Torrance and you can pick that up.
My new recent favorite font is the Ubuntu font. Have you ever come across this?
No, but I know what Ubuntu is. I'll look it up. Hey, close your, you're getting dropouts a little bit. It's probably because you still have the YouTube window open. Why don't you go ahead and close that, please?
Oh, yeah, I bet I do.
Okay.
So Ubuntu, it's kind of like Calibri. It's a font that is designed to be readable at great distances on small screens.
Yeah.
But it's also the Bitcoin font. All the Bitcoin accepted here things are in the Ubuntu font. And I think that's because it's recognizable or familiar to programmers and tech geeks that would use Linux and Ubuntu.
Yeah.
But I'm really enjoying the font. It's like just different enough from Arial or any of the other standard fonts that I just like it. I like the look of it.
Can you get it free for Windows?
You can. I already have.
Is it on font.ubuntu.com?
I don't know where I downloaded it
when
from.
I searched Ubuntu font, that's what it said.
Sure.
Yeah.
Then yes, Google knows better than me.
Now, how many radio shows in America are there that will talk about Walking Dead and will talk about why the government needs to go away and will also give you useful advice like font recommendations? I think it's pretty much zero. I would almost say there's two, and it's Free Talk Live, but Free Talk Live, they may mention, they'll never do an hour on a show. Like they would never do, you know, an hour a week on the same show because they would probably lose listeners, and we probably do too. Lou made a joke about that today. he made a joke about it a while back. Maybe it was Rich or maybe it was me. I said something about that talk radio is always tries to appeal to the broadest spectrum and podcasts can appeal to the narrowest spectrum. You know, you could have like the left-handed lesbian Lithuanians from Idaho podcast, you know, because radio has to reach just people in a geographic area. So it has to be more general interest or kind of lowest common denominator often. But I was like, why isn't there a radio show that's for like, you know, fly fishing and Maserati repair? So that kind of became a meme with Crazy Rich. There should be, I think.
There you go.
Put it this way. You probably wouldn't have many listeners, but you could probably sell your ads for a lot of money. If you sold it to like people who are so rich, they just sit around repairing their own Maseratis as a hobby. That'd be a pretty
wealthy... You get the right kind of sponsor for sure.
Yeah.
Because that means that what you've done is cultivated an audience specifically of their target niche, right?
Yeah.
There you go.
All right. So let's talk about Walking Dead.
So there's only two episodes left in the season, and I'm not sure where the conflict is going to come from.
I kind of feel like there should be a shark, big man. Conflict. Do you feel like it's jumped the shark? You're probably going to say no, but I feel like
it has. Show, you mean?
Yeah, a little bit.
No, I feel like Alexandria is a whole new, I feel like I'm watching a new show. You know, like I feel like there's a whole new kind of cool thing that could happen now. Because first off, you've got Daryl and Aaron with their motorcycle. They have, so that now that means you have endless side plots.
Daryl's friends with a gay guy now too, which is like conflict is the essence of drama. Friends become enemies, enemies become friends. Everyone's a little richer for the experience.
Well, people have been speculating for a long time that Daryl is gay. So I could see it. I guess maybe we'll discover that.
Hasn't there been a scene where he was alone with a woman who was trying to hit on him? Who was it? Oh, but she was
Carol. Yeah, she's propositioned him a number of times.
And that teenage girl got drunk and kind of hit on him a little bit too. Is that Carol's daughter? Mm-hmm. The one that
Beth is who you're thinking of. Yeah. That's Herschel's daughter and Maggie's sister. I don't know if she was hitting on him, but it was something was going on there. And all the happened there. But yeah, he doesn't take opportunity when it presents itself for sure. But what that means is to have Aaron and Daryl out in the field means you can have endless, let's explore these buildings and cities and towns and other explorers. You get everything you got from the old Walking Dead with this side mission thing going on. But then at the same time, you have this walled compound where you have all of the like human drama of like, what skills do people have? What conflicts arise? Who's cheating on who? Who is the power monger? Who leaves who to die?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, they also, the show kind of does that whenever there's like, whenever it starts to get a little boring, they change locations. I've noticed that.
Yeah, but now they can kind of do that endlessly. And now we're going to explore what a real civilization is going to look like.
Yeah. Who would build the zombie roads?
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Yeah, this is Freedom Fiends. So, Mr. Davy Barker, he's on the phone. Davy, you could talk more on the phone while you try to reboot. Davy had a computer problem. What's up, Davy? Talk to the people. I'm holding the mic up to the phone.
Guys, am I being piped all the way through? Can the radio listeners hear me from here?
Yeah, yeah. You're talking on the phone. Go ahead, man.
All right, that's interesting. I don't know what the problem is. I'm the program, King Phone, I essentially tried to reboot and close something.
Whoa. You're back. You look like you're back. So, caller, what's on your mind? You want to talk about zombies?
I don't know what's going on. I was back for a second. Can you hear me through Fiend Phone or no?
No, no. I think it's the government, man. I blame the government. I don't know. I don't know what's up. What do you have your audio settings on? Welcome to the Freedom Fiends. We're a teaching hospital.
Fiend Phone.
Here you call me.
There I am.
There you are. All right. So, Davy, what's on your mind? Caller.
I'm just not going to touch it. I'm going to leave it where it is. I don't know why it's working. I don't know why it wasn't working. But it seems to be working now. So
do your last segment here on Walking Dead, and then we'll talk about other things in the second hour.
Sure. So I feel like at this point in the show, we've gone somewhere no zombie movie has ever gone. Like everything up to now has been sort of homages and things familiar
boldly
to zombie movies.
Where no zombie has gone before.
Right. But now, like, we have a whole new compound. We have a whole new civilization. We have a safe, and they're not like rugged, like Mad Max people who built a wall and they're still, you know, survivalists. They're like soft, squishy, senators and bureaucrats and whatever. And so we also have external threats. We have whoever's carving the W's in the zombies' heads is out there somewhere. The wolves is what people have called them.
I think, I think it's the preacher. The preacher's flipping out. I really think they never should have brought him along, man. He's dead weight. What do you think? Yeah, well, if you don't have anything to say, I'm just going to talk.
I'm getting a lot of max headroom from you right now.
Yeah. Is someone else in your home using the internet? It could be that. But
it could be.
Yeah. I think during the break, you should go impose some hammer down and say.
So conflict between rivals, survivalist compounds, I think would be really exciting. I've never seen that before in a zombie movie. And it is the logical place for the human threat to go. You know what I mean? Like,
well, we've actually seen it a little bit in this show.
Like civilizations.
There was that weird like trailer park kind of ex-military people that were raiding houses. Remember them?
Ex-military?
Yeah. That our group was in with for a while, but they were too crazy. Remember them? You don't remember them?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Really?
Huh. Do you mean the claimers? Do you mean like Daryl and Joe and...
No, it was when they were like... It was kind of like a gypsy caravan. It was like a bunch of people that were kind of camping together in a field and had like recreational vehicles and...
The guy with the tank.
Yeah, those people. Who was that?
That was the governor's group. I don't know that it had a name, you know, per se.
This kind of brings up another problem. Nathan the Ninja Squirrel just wrote us and said, one criticism I've heard of The Walking Dead is that the characters are only interesting when the zombies are trying to kill them. It kind of makes sense. I struggle for words to describe Daryl or Andrea, like the guy with the crossbow, the stupid chick. Maybe constantly changing locations is a solution for that. Now, I've always had a problem of even with shows I love, I have a problem remembering the names of the characters because for one thing, they're not used a lot. Like you're kind of supposed to get them the first time they're said, and then they're not said for four or five episodes. And, you know, cause when people who are friends talk to each other, they don't generally address each other by name all that often. But this show, I have that problem with more than other shows.
That sort of seems like a problem with any episodic media, right?
It's true.
Like how often did they say Captain Picard?
Captain Picard, yeah. All right, Davi's going to reboot his computer. That's the plan here. And other internet use in his house. We'll come back for hour two. Give me a worms.
Worms.
All right. Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Freedom Fiends. Broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, zombie-infested Mountain West in the occupied states of America. So, Davi, I'm holding the phone up to the microphone. What do you got to say? Talk to the people. Caller, while we wait for Nathan.
Probably less than a minute away from back being on Fiend Phone. My desktop is up. I'm just waiting for everything to sort of work.
Well, Nathan should call in anyway. We're actually going to take a call on Fiend Phone.
Unprecedented.
Yeah, we hadn't done that in like a year. So, but go ahead. I got the phone up to you. Sound like a caller on radio. Sounds okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to let you know that this is a long-time listener, first-time caller. And I don't know. I don't even know what radio callers sound like anymore. I don't listen to any radio that takes calls other than Free Talk Live, and those aren't conventional radio callers. So
some of them are. Some of them are. I mean, Kate, well, some of them are in that some of the callers are not libertarians at all. But I guess they're still unconventional in that the ones that are not libertarians probably would not be allowed on other shows. They're just too nutty. It's kind of entertaining. There's people that call in all the time and quote the Bible. Like, they feel it is their mission. You know, they're probably bedridden people or something, or maybe, I don't know, they feel like they must evangelize and the most valuable use of their time rather than, you know, going out and doing good works out in the street or feeding the homeless and, you know, telling them about Jesus. They just call into radio shows and say the same things over and over and over. Have you heard those callers ever?
I wonder if it's a function of them listening to evangelical radio shows and thinking that that's just what good Christians do.
I've never heard, like, you know, a Zoroastrian call in and do that. Why isn't there more of that? Maybe they don't proselytize. I don't know.
I don't know that I've ever even met a Zoroastrian. I know they exist. They must be somewhere.
Hey, Daniel, we got our caller yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, keep talking, Davi. Are you on Fiend Phone yet? Can you get on Fiend Phone?
No, it's the same thing that always happens. The whole system crashes. I reboot the whole system. It takes forever to reboot for some reason unknown. And then now that everything's up and worrying and I can open things, Fiend Phone won't open.
Well, I'm going to troubleshoot. We're going to do computer. Get your laptop. How far away is your laptop? Is it handy?
I don't know. It's 10 feet.
Why don't you get it and boot it up?
I guess I could reach that far.
Get it and boot it up. And we will talk about antiwar.com as if you're a phone caller calling into a radio show while you boot that up and install Fiend Phone. And yeah, man, we'll make this work because we are the Freedom Fiends and we are unstoppable. No matter how much the government tries to mess with us. You back yet, Davi?
I'm here. I mean, I didn't leave, so I don't know what back means.
All right. I'm going to read about this. Google disables all ads on antiwar.com. Angela Keaton sent this to me and a bunch of people today. On 3/18/15, we received a note from Google AdSense informing us that our ads for our site had been disabled. Why? Because of this page showing horrific abuses committed by U.S. troops in Iraq at Abu Ghraib.
Fiend Phone.
Is that
Fiend
Davi?
Phone.
Is Davi fiending in?
Fiend Phone. Fiend Phone.
Okay, hang on with Nathan. Davi, you there? It's not working. Davi?
Yeah?
Yo, you're on Fiend Phone?
That's me, yep.
All right. Well, Nathan's calling in. Jump on here, Nathan. Let's hear Nathan. Nathan calling from Texas. Are you there, Nathan?
I am here. And I have not been contacted by the government.
Oh, and you sound horrible, just like Davi did a few minutes ago. So give us 2 minutes of what's on your mind, and then we'll get you off the air because you don't sound good enough for the Freedom Fiends. You have before. Don't you have Skype? Can't you Skype in or something?
I do have Skype, and I also have Fiend Phone. So, but since I do have 2 minutes, I wanted to get a quick thought in on The Walking Dead.
Hang on a sec. So, you know what, man? I'm going to take our first call ever on Fiend Phone. I'm going to send you the information to call in on Fiend Phone and have you call in on Fiend Phone. What do you think of that? Wouldn't that be better? I think it would. So, Davi, I don't have the password on anymore, right? I took it off.
I don't think so. I didn't put in a password.
All right. I'm writing Nathan, Fiend Phone info. All right. So, here you go. And I'm going to put the password in here, too. I think we took it off, but if you need to put in a password, the password will be in here, too. Will you call us in on Fiend Phone there, Nathan?
I'll give it a try.
All right. Hang up and try that. Thanks, man.
And we can do a side-by-side comparison of
yes.
Fiend Phone versus old
yes.
phone.
I actually have one of those. Okay, hang up on that caller. We're done with him. All right. So, Davi, do you want to read some of this?
Get off my phone!
Do you want to read some of this? What's that from? That's funny.
That's Glenn Beck freaked out on somebody and screamed, get off my phones!
There was somebody, I forget if it was Tom Likas or somebody. There was somebody who used to, like, whenever he didn't like a caller, he'd hang up on them and accuse them of calling in their pajamas from a payphone at a mental hospital. That's kind of funny. Hey, did you hear that Glenn Beck has given up the Republican Party? He's left and he won't give them any more money. But he still loves
Good
the
for
state.
Him.
I wonder if any of that's the influence of Cody Wilson having gone on his show.
Did he realize that they're liars, they're socialists, and they're feet stink?
I don't think so. I think it's actually because they're not conservative enough, which to him means put a giant electric eel covered wall between us and anything else that might be not what his vision of America is, which is kind of like,
is that really the reason? It's immigration is the reason Glenn Beck left the GOP.
That's one of the main
reasons.
That's
kind of depressing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I thought he was sort of like coming toward liberty a little bit.
He was only coming to liberty in that he was realizing that police abuse their powers. That was his main thing.
No way.
Yeah. Was, you know, he would do an article, he would do a show on Time where he, you know, once in a while, where he'd mention, like, you know, the war on, like, some grandma getting shot because they had the wrong address on the warrant. I don't think he thinks that they shouldn't be able to kick in doors. I think he just thinks they should get the right address. That's his problem with
it. They should have a judge sign their boots before they kick in doors.
Yeah. All right, so read this antiwar.com article while we wait for our first ever.
I'm on a different machine all of a sudden. So
you're on. Oh, you're on your laptop. That was quick, man.
Well, no, I'm not on my. Okay. So here it is. Where do we leave off?
You speak up, son. Like you're on radio.
I am navigating two machines because you had me downloading Fiendphone on one machine when Fiendphone popped up on the other machine.
So the original. You're back on the original machine.
I'm connected to my desktop via Fiendphone, but all my tabs are open on my laptop is what's going on.
That'll probably solve the problem. I think your computer, how much memory does your desktop have?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. Go to the desktop and right click on the My Computer icon and go to Properties. Cause this might, and you know, this is a teaching hospital and there are shows where they basically like solve people's computer problems. So this is one of them. So are you there? I mean, are you?
I don't know what you mean by my computer icon.
You don't have an icon. Oh, you're on Windows 8. They got rid of that, didn't they? Isn't there just an icon for computer or something like that?
There's a tab under the start menu.
Man, I'm going to hate Windows 8. I know it.
This is Windows 7.
Oh, okay.
Properties. Here we go.
Yeah. Get my new laptop tomorrow. I'm really psyched. Even though it's got Windows 8 and I'm scared.
Why are you scared?
Because it's new uncharted territory. And well, I want to talk about that too. So basically, Windows 8 is a far superior operating system to Windows 7. It boots a lot quicker. It manages memory better. It works faster on less memory. It's better with managing resources. So it has all this under-the-hood stuff that's better, has better networking and security. However, the interface is really retarded. They basically made the same interface for the desktops and laptops as they did for the mobile devices. So everything looks kind of like AOL looked in 1986. Like, it's just tabs. Like, they've gotten rid of the start menu. That's the biggest thing. They've gotten rid of the start menu and they just expect you to pin things to your task menu instead.
Bean phone.
It's Bean a history phone. In the making, man. Do we got you there? Nathan, are you there? Yeah.
I'm just kidding. Am I here?
Yeah, man, you're here. It's our first ever Fiend phone call. Excellent. Back off on the mic a little bit. You're a little loud and, if there's a fan or AC, is there a fan or AC on in your room? I'm hearing a fan. Is that a computer fan?
No, I turned off the fan and I have a windscreen. So
all right, get a little closer. You're too far now. Kind of split the difference, all right?
Okay.
Okay. So talk to Davi. See if you guys can hear each other.
Yeah, what's your point on Walking Dead?
So my point was that...
I got to finish my point really quick because I won't remember and come back to it. Everybody hates that Windows 8 took away the start menu, or a lot of people do. And they're bringing it back in Windows 10. There's going to be no Windows 9. You can actually buy a $5 add-on called Star 8 or Start 8 that brings back the start menu. But I believe that Microsoft intentionally took away the start menu so people would clamor for it so they could bring it back in Windows 10 in the same way that the Coke company got rid of Classic Coke, brought out New Coke, which everyone hated, and then went back to Classic Coke. And called it Classic Coke suddenly, so people would realize. It's kind of that thing of like, you know, you don't realize how much you like electricity until it's gone. Like, they just wanted to trick people into talking about their product. And that's it. So go ahead, Nathan, talk about Walking Dead, please.
Oh, also, I think I tried a laptop with Windows 8 one time, and it was scary. There were all these, like, icons and such. I didn't know what to click on.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of, like, chiclets, you know, on the desktop. Like, you don't have the... it's not as easy to navigate. It's not this. We're used to what there was, and you shouldn't take it away without giving us the option. Me and the mouse in my pocket. I don't know. So go on. You're the first caller ever on Fiendphone, man. It's awesome.
First caller on Fiendphone. I don't have a party favor, but insert sound effect here. So my theory on Walking Dead, or at least this is what I've heard from some film critics, is that these characters are not as interesting when they're not being pursued by zombies. when they're just kind of doing their own thing.
Do you agree, Dobby?
No, I think they're plenty interesting. I mean, it seems like they have to be around a long time before they have a nice long story arc. You know, like Carol has this great sort of development, and to some extent Rick does, although he kind of just keeps going in one direction. Carl for sure has come a long way as a character, and so is Daryl. But your short-lived characters, like Abraham, hasn't had any time to really go anywhere. He's sort of like, he's been around for half a season, and so we're just still getting to know him.
So about Rick, what would you, I guess he's the main character, so he would have the most growth. What would you say was his character arc? Like what concretely changed about him from the guy with the sheriff's hat to the guy he is now with the beard?
Well, he's gone from save everybody to save mine.
And he's going back to being the guy with the cop shirt on, but he looks like a security guard now, so we'll see how that affects
him. It's all fake, man. The uniform is fake.
Stick around, Nathan. We'll be back. Cool.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
For some reason in this country, and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try Fiend Phone right now at fiendphone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve Fiend Phone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to fiendphone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's fiendphone.com, FEENPHONE.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, phone.com.
Fiendphone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
I'm trying to...
Yeah.
I have my tabs open.
Uh-huh, go ahead. We're too busy talking.
I have my tabs open on my laptop.
Yeah.
But it's not working. They're not loading, and so I can't read this article because it's not loading properly.
Well, fortunately, we have a caller on Fiend Phone who sounds pretty good. Sounds better than any caller. The difference between... What do you think of the difference between him on Fiend Phone and him on his phone, his old phone, Davi?
It's pretty dramatically different, although he's really loud.
I turned him down.
He came on really loud, which is...
He came on really loud.
Just, you know, I'd turn
the ladies off.
It's normally something that you want to do in the pre-show.
Yeah, but, you know, it's far better than having you call in alone on over the phone with me holding it up to the mic. And, you know, we'll keep him around at the end of the show for a spare in case you fall off again. I'll just talk to him about Star Trek. So, and he can also read articles because you can't, because you can't open browsers on this computer. So there's an article on antiwar.com, and Nathan's going to read part of it, and we may stop and interrupt at some points and comment. So go ahead, Nathan.
All right. It says here, Google...
Are you really far from the mic? Get up on the mic, son. Act like you're on radio, son. Get up on the mic.
Google disables all ads on antiwar.com.
Yeah.
March 18, 2015.
Why does he sound quiet again?
3/18/15.
Are you turning away from the mic and then coming back to the mic? This is a teaching hospital. You need to be on the mic.
I was repositioning my mic so that I wouldn't have to turn. Is this fine?
Yeah. Just don't move your head away from the mic. Just talk into the mic from how far you are right now. So go ahead, please.
Interesting.
That you get quieter when you move away from a mic? No, that's physics.
No, it's interesting because usually it's not this responsive. Usually it's I have to move a lot farther to get any response.
Fiend Phone is very responsive. It is like a classic Maserati with a woman fly fishing in a bikini off the front of it. It's very responsive. So go ahead.
All right. On 3/18/15, we received a note from Google AdSense informing us that all ads for our site had been disabled. Why? Because of this page showing the horrific abuses committed by U.S. troops in Iraq at Abu Ghraib. This page has been up for 11 years. During all that time, Google AdSense has been running ads on our site. But as Washington gets ready to reinvade Iraq and in bombing, killing, and abusing more civilians, they suddenly decide that their anti-violence policy, which prohibits disturbing material, prohibits any depiction of violence committed by the U.S. government and paid for with your tax dollars. This page is the third most visited page in our history, getting over 2 million page views since it was posted.
All right, I want to jump in here, and Davi probably has some comments. So, yeah, they're showing prisoner abuse pictures from Abu Ghraib, or however you say it. So basically, Google, a company that now makes robots for the military, who basically is making technology that's going to murder and dismember people possibly in the future, is really upset that, and I would guess it's probably at the request of the U.S. government. I think this article probably goes on to say that. What do you think about this, Davi?
I think it's plenty Orwellian that it's a violation of their anti-violence policy to depict protest of acts of violence. Like, they put these pictures on there because they want these things to stop. And the great irony is that that means that pictures of Google's robots in action will probably be prohibited by Google's anti-violence policy.
Yeah, and you know, Google's motto from the beginning was, Google, don't be evil. That was their motto, because they thought they were the cool, peace-loving, wonderful, hippie, we're the new business model, we pay our employees way better healthcare than we have to. We give people time off. We're the great employers. Everyone wants to work here. We pay them really well. And free salad bowl in the lunch, you know, in the lunchroom, whatever. Free lunches, actually. I think they literally have free lunches at Google and Microsoft.
I don't think that's their slogan anymore. I think they abandoned it like a year ago.
It is, which was, you know, about a year after they bought a company that makes robots for the military. All right. So read on.
I'm sure those were unrelated events.
Read on, young Nathan. Thank you.
I'm sure. This page has been up for 11 years. During all that time, Google AdSense has been running ads on our site. But as Washington gets ready... Oh, did I already
read that?
Teaching hospitals.
Concentrate hospitals. Like you're on radio, son. All right.
To say this is an utter outrage would be an understatement. It is quite simply the kind of situation one might expect to encounter in an authoritarian country where state-owned or state-connected companies routinely censor material that displeases the government. Is Google now an arm of the U.S. State Department? This is a big hit on our funding. You can bet the boys in Washington don't like us and would just love to shut us down. Don't let them get away with it. We need your help today, and you can do that in two ways. Make a donation to help us cover the lost revenue. We run this website on a shoestring, and the money we fully expected to bring in from Google Ads now puts a big hole in our budget.
They can't afford to lose this income, and we do run free ads for antiwar.com because they are a great organization. Just go to antiwar.com and help them out. We're going to talk about more stuff when we get back here on the Freedom Fiends. The Teaching Hospital. Juggling rabbits on a tightrope.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home. Wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Meow, Nathan. This is the Freedom Fiends, the everything that can go wrong will go wrong show. But, you know, we fixed it because we're semi-professionals. We're lowly paid, no paid professionals. All right, so yeah, antiwar.com has had a lot of problems with the government trying to mess with them. They used to bring in a bunch of money and donations, and then the government actually went, like, demanded their you had a court order, wasn't it, to demand their donator list, because someone who donated to them had donated to something that had donated to a group that's defined as an enemy of the state or something in America. Wasn't that it?
Something like that. I don't know this story as well as I think I do, but I was under the impression they filed a Freedom of Information Act request
and found it out
and discovered that the FBI was sort of keeping profiles on some of their donors for the sake of donating to them.
Well, no, but they were also calling their donators or writing them and hassling them. Like, what a way to kill donations. You know, if you donate to this cause, the government, you'll be contacted by the government. And, yeah, so you know,
you have to have a permit to donate to antiwar.com. I think that's the message being sent.
It's kind of like, you know, antiwar.com was definitely not supporting terrorism. In fact, they do exactly the opposite. They are against terrorism, you know, whether it's
regardless of the flag being flown over it.
Yeah. So, and it's, you know, it's kind of ironic too that, like, you know, you can have your all your assets seized or have your friends hassled because you, you know somebody who donated to somebody who might be someone considered a terrorist. Whereas, like, the U.S. and other governments arm terrorists all day long in other countries. Like, they armed the Muj, which turned into, I always forget, is it the Taliban or Al-Qaeda?
Sorry, what's that?
The Mujahideen turned into the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. I forget. Anyway.
Probably the Taliban. The Taliban's more sort of natively Afghani.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, now they're, and then they armed rebels who went and joined ISIS and took the American donated weapons with them. Happens all the time, all day long. But, so there's a contest to help antiwar.com. Davi, you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, so this isn't officially launched yet. This is supposed to launch in 2 days on the anniversary of the launch of the Iraq War, which is March 20th. The contest will go for 1 month, and so submissions should be in by April 20th or 420. And essentially, they want memes about this fiasco where Google sort of took down their ads on as a response to posting the Abu Ghraib photos. And so the contest is called Don't Expose Evil, which is sort of a mockery of the Don't Be Evil Google slogan. So yeah, make your memes and send them to don'texposeevil@bitcoinnotbombs.com. We're going to be running the contest for them. And there have been some donations made. There's going to be first, second, and third place. First place will win one Bitcoin. Second place will earn a 10-ounce bar of silver from Roberts & Roberts. And third place will earn 5 1-ounce rounds from Freedom's Phoenix.
Are you entering? You'd be a good one to enter.
I might. I don't know. I might be disqualified on account of being in the organization running the contest.
Are you? Are you in antiwar.com?
No, I'm in bitcoin.bombs.com. And we're sort of like a fundraiser. We're like their, you know.
Did you guys raise the Bitcoin?
Orphaned child or whatever.
Did you guys raise the one Bitcoin they're giving away?
The one Bitcoin comes from Roger Ver, and nice. He's a longtime supporter of antiwar.com. I don't know whether it was Angela or Drew that actually called him and talked him into it, but he's always ready for that sort of thing. So
he's a good guy.
We cooperate with antiwar.com. We were sort of born as part of them and then splintered off into our own subgroup or whatever.
Roger Ver donated to Fiendphone too. And, you know, really, I was going to say this the other day when you guys were talking about the 6 feet of snow with a bow tie.
Yeah. Texas is buried under 6 feet of snow and a bow tie.
Yeah. And you were talking about, and I forgot to say this, there are really only 4 charities that are legitimate charities in the world. They are antiwar.com, Bitcoin Not Bombs. What's the one? Sean's Outpost, and Fiendphone. Those are the only places people should be sending
the
money.
The only ones.
That's it. Not even the Freedom Fiends. They're a bunch of jokers. Just send it to Fiendphone.
There are probably others. There's Sovereign Living. There's Bitcoin Mom. There's Undocumented Human. And, you know, and for the record, Bitcoin Not Bomb still exists in a gray area between commercial and nonprofit or activity. So I don't even know if we technically qualify as a charity. We're the world's first decentralized aircraft, and that's all we can really claim with certainty.
Isn't most of what you do though just teaching other charities how to accept Bitcoin, or do you also raise Bitcoin and give it to charities?
Well, that's our mission statement, and we do both of those things, but we also do a lot of merchandising of our own, which some of it goes into the organization's coffers,
really,
and some of it goes to various causes. And
it's really just, yeah. Roger Ver is just backing liberty, isn't he? Isn't he the only person that's actually giving money to things?
Probably not the only
person,
but he's definitely
wouldn't that be
he's
a nice
there and ready
though?
Whenever he's
wouldn't
called
that,
on.
Wouldn't that be a good conspiracy, though?
It's
that,
all
like,
Roger Ver.
It's one
right?
guy. Like, one guy is financing liberty secretly. Yeah.
Yeah, and everyone else who you think is out there financing liberty, that's just a straw man or a puppet of Roger.
No, they're on the payroll of him. Yeah, like, he's the Koch brothers of anarcho-capitalism. I'm joking, because you know how people always, like, accuse any, like liberals accuse everybody, whether they're Republican or libertarian or anarcho-capitalist. I have been accused of being on the Koch brothers payroll. How ridiculous is that?
You know, yeah, I'm still waiting for my checks.
Yeah. What, Nathan?
It's funny you bring that up. I saw an article about how the Free State Project is funded by the Koch brothers. And I think they underlined that and had a bold font. Like, and the Free State Project is even being funded by the Koch brothers.
Well, that's not so far from the truth in a kind of unrelated way. I could be wrong on this, but I heard, and Porkfest is a different entity than the Free State Project, but they're very interconnected. I heard that Reason Magazine paid to be a sponsor of last year's Porkfest, and that's why Nick Gillespie was speaking there, although I think he'd be asked to speak there anyway. But I heard, that could be wrong on this, but I heard from a reliable-ish source that that Reason Magazine or the Reason Foundation paid a bunch of money to Porkfest in support of Porkfest last year. And Reason Foundation, that runs Reason Magazine, is on the perennial payroll of the Koch brothers. That's fact. That, like, this isn't a conspiracy. If you go to the Reason Foundation's website, they're on their list of donors. They're up near the top.
You know what? It's totally irrelevant. If the Koch brothers go to 7-Eleven and buy a cup of coffee, then 7-Eleven is partially funded by the Koch brothers. That doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I mean, I guess this is why I never like to be part of organizations, because people think it does mean something if you get funding from some certain group. Because people assume, and this is not always correct, people assume that funding includes steerability. You know, that like the Koch brothers could be, if they give money to Porkfest, they can call up and say, okay, I don't like the way you're running this, we got to change it, which I really don't believe is true in this case. It is true with the president, though. It is true with government. The people that donate a lot of money to the president to get elected can tell him what to do, especially if he wants to get elected a second time.
It depends how much money you're giving, right? Like, there are people who donate, like, obscene amounts of money as some sort of grandiose gesture because they're hoping to buy influence. And then there are people who, like, trickle Bitcoin in the back door and don't even tell you where it's coming from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, like, the mere act of donating to something doesn't mean you have influence.
Do you know about, do you know who, God, I can't remember the name of these guys. They're leftist anarchist pranksters. What are they called? They're two. Do you know what I'm talking about? They're two guys that do a lot of videos where they kind of prank people.
Can you give me a specific prank or something?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking of this one that was like a bunch of years ago where like they had a website that intentionally had a URL that was very similar to the World Bank's URL. And they got an email that was supposed to be going to someone at the World Bank, but came to them, and it was inviting some economist to come speak at, you know, the G8 or something like the G8. And they basically committed fraud. They basically accepted the agreement, and they made a little documentary film about this where they, they're called the Yes Men. Have you ever heard of the Yes Men?
No, but they sound entertaining.
Yeah. And there's a video of this somewhere. I saw this in the Lost Film Festival when one, my DIY or Die movie was in it like 10 years ago. They basically claimed to be someone they weren't. And in this video, it shows them preparing to go speak. Like, the guy had long hair, and they show him going to a barber and getting a square-looking haircut. They show him going to a tailor and getting a suit that looks like an economist would wear. And he went and spoke to this group of economists at the World Bank, event, yearly thing, where, like, the movers and shakers of, you know, the people that are, like, the bosses of Bill Gates and the presidents whose name you don't know go. Mm-hmm. And he made this PowerPoint presentation, and basically he went up and said that the problem with democracy is that people have to hire lobbyists and get people to go in and influence the voters and influence the president. And he was proposing, and this is completely specious, but he did it with a straight face, that he was proposing that they started a website called voteauction.org or voteauction.gov, I forget which, where, like, you'd basically, people would just sell their votes and corporations would buy blocks of votes to get the guy in they wanted. And they did it with a totally straight face. And they had, like, economists for governments around the world, like, raising their hand and asking follow-up questions about it. You never saw that?
I have no objection to such a website. Whenever anybody gets on my case for not voting, I always offer to sell it to them, and so far nobody's taken me
up on
it.
Which I think brings us to our next topic of Obama wants mandatory voting. Do you have that one up, Nathan?
President Obama floats idea for mandatory voting.
Yep, go ahead.
President Barack Obama...
Speak on the mic. Get on like you're on the radio, son.
President Barack Obama, who is a liar, a socialist, and his feet stink, is floating the idea of making it mandatory to vote in the United States. Obama is discussing voting rights and campaign finance in an appearance at the City Club of Cleveland. He says the U.S. should be making it easier, not harder, to vote.
Easier, Species not harder to
the
vote.
Word rights there.
In that we'll make it easier by putting you in jail if you don't do it.
It'll probably just be a fine. You'll only go to jail if you don't pay the fine.
It'll be like the Obamacare, which, you know, they basically made it sound like, oh, if you don't get the Obamacare, you'll just get a little fine. And it's like, no, they also didn't mention that you can't get health insurance without going through Obamacare, even if you're paying for it all yourself, which I've discovered this week.
If voting becomes mandatory, I want to find out what substance or whatever I can go into the voting machine, slip it into their machine, and jam their machine with it.
Oh, and we don't recommend you do that, Davi, because that would be illegal. I want to know if I don't know, would they have third-party candidates? I want to vote for Vermin Supreme if I have to vote.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends.
Google that.
So much truth,
people.
It hurts.
America, Google that.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And, I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Well, time is trying to kill you. It only seems fair.
Feels like it tonight. Freedom Fiends, redemption in the third act. We're going to kill time and kill it dead. No, we're not killing time. Time's killing us. All right, so, Davi, talk about The Walking Dead. Nathan, feel free to jump. Nathan, do you watch The Walking Dead? You do, right? But you're bored by it or something?
Yeah, I watch it, but I'm not sure what's going to happen to it. And Davi kind of comforted me there by saying it's going to go on forever.
All right.
So this is, Robert Kirkman has said the point of The Walking Dead is that it's the zombie movie that never ends, which is, it's good because zombie movies never end in a satisfying place.
Yeah.
And so The Walking Dead has the potential to go on and be a completely new society. They have to completely rebuild.
A zombie Congress? There's going to be a zombie Congress.
A zombie Congress. Yeah,
starting
exactly.
With that
Congress
lady.
Of zombies.
That lady's going to get killed and become the first zombie congressman.
There are probably, lots of zombie congressmen. They're wandering around with the plebes and, you know. But Nathan had some other criticisms that I wanted to talk about. So Nathan, what were some of your other objections?
Well, the one I was just talking about was the one where you set me straight. I didn't really see how the show could have a good ending or a bad ending. And my reasoning for that was, well, it's not really a good ending if everyone dies. And more to the point, the show kind of leads you to think that's not going to happen, right? Because Rick is still alive, Carl is still alive. But it's also, there's no way that the zombie virus is going to be cured because they've already dangled two carrots in front of us that, the thing might get cured, but then it doesn't. So that's not going to happen either. So it seems like it could just go on indefinitely, like a soap opera.
Yeah, you have to build. You have to build a society in these new conditions. It's sort of part of the new normal.
And are the zombies?
I think it's good. You know, like I think it's exciting. Are the zombies?
No, yeah. It's, I was going to say at some point you'd think the zombies would decay because they keep showing them more and more rotting as the show goes on. I kind of dig that. It's more about the community building and the conflict now than the zombies.
It might get to the point where they're all like the bicycle lady in the first episode, like crawling with nothing below the belt.
Well, so if you think about it, if you remember in the prison sequence in the beginning of the second half of season 3, or I'm not sure, but when Patrick changed because of the flu, when the flu first started happening, all the zombies in that outbreak were fresh. They happened that day. Right?
Fresh like zombies.
Patrick died that night. He wandered into the common area and started eating people while they were asleep. And then you had an outbreak inside the prison. So even if the like the roamers out in the woods all decay and fall and sort of disappear, you still have everybody in the world holding the hidden infection, which means that you have to come up with new burial rites. You have to come up with new, you know, medical standard practices and things like that to accommodate for these things.
And I had a crackpot theory on where the zombie virus came from. Michael brought up mycelium in the last episode, the underground network that connects the mushrooms that we see above ground. And I learned about Terrence McKenna's theory that mushrooms were sent here by aliens after I watched The Walking Dead. So naturally, maybe the mushrooms brought the zombie virus, and it's all part of an alien plot to terraform the planet.
I think that's suggested. Well, Robert Kirkman, the one scientist left at the Center for Disease Control, said he, you know, they don't know what it is. It's either viral or bacterial or fungal. Didn't he say that?
He said they have no idea what it is, which is consistent, I think, with the alien narrative. And I would actually personally like that because it would I mean, I'm sure Kirkman is not going to do it, but it would transform the show from zombie. From one genre of zombies to the science fiction genre.
Well, so here's the thing. When Robert Kirkman first pitched The Walking Dead to Image Comics, he told them that the zombie infection was the first wave of an alien invasion. And that's why they took the comic. And then after like 50 issues, 60, 70 issues, they're like, hey, where are the aliens? And he's like, I just pitched that so you'd buy the comic. And now that you know that it's popular, I'm not going to do it. But, you know, like it's possible, you know, if they can run out of ideas long enough, they'll revisit that idea. And there's definitely been fan art that plays with the idea that there's aliens in The Walking Dead. So it's pretty interesting. It's definitely part of the genre. There are alien zombie movies.
Cool.
It's been a good show, y'all, considering. And Nathan, thank you for your service for jumping in as our spare fiend in the trunk.
Worms.
I'm installing Ubuntu font right now. So there.
Worms. Good times.
Worms.
So go to antiwar.com and check them out. And if you like what you see, donate something.
Definitely. We command the...
Or else.
Yes. There's a font called Trebuchet. All right.
That sounds like fun.
It does.